From West Virginia, Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
The High Technology Foundation, headquartered at the I-79 Technology Park in Fairmont. Online at wvhtf.org.
The West Virginia AFL-CIO, the voice for West Virginia workers. Online at wvaflcio.org.
At the legislature today, there weren't enough members of the House of Delegates to meet in a floor session today, but the Senate was in session and ready to conduct a little business. And we'll kick off our coverage with a special report about the water crisis that affected 300,000 people in the Kanawha Valley. This is the legislature today. And good evening, I'm Beth Voorhees. Welcome to the premiere of the 20th season of the Legislature Today. Our team will be at the state capitol every day during this session to bring you the very latest legislative news and information. But we begin tonight with a different story. On day five of the water emergency in the Kanawha Valley, there's some good news. The Do Not Use advisory is being lifted gradually, and it's only a matter of time before water service is returned to the nine counties that have been affected. We've been unable to drink, cook, or clean after a chemical leak contaminated the water supply. And this crisis did affect the state legislature somewhat. We'll find out to what extent in just a moment. But first, Ashton Mara has this report about how this event unfolded.
Response came almost immediately after the Do Not Use advisory was put into place Thursday. Governor Tomlin and his staff reached out to the Federal Emergency Management Agency for relief water supplies, and the National Guard helped distribute them. Teams of Guard chemists and other water quality specialists were brought in to begin testing water samples at the contaminated West Virginia American Water Treatment Plant. But because not much was known about the chemical, known as crude MCHM, a testing methodology had to be created and a standard for health safety determined.
Because this chemical was not deemed as already hazardous, they had to go through a process to give us a recommendation. So we began working with them immediately. So the one parts per million comes directly from their center, so that we felt very confident in the federal system and their ability to provide us with the information that we needed.
Once the threshold was set by the Centers for Disease Control, test results had to be below that level for a 24-hour period. From there, the process of flushing out the system could begin. Today, we learned that process got started.
The numbers we have today look good, and we're finally at a point where the Do Not Use order is being lifted in certain areas. In these specific areas, flushing can begin.
But the process of flushing the system isn't going to be an easy one. President of West Virginia American Water, Jeff McIntyre, explains flushing will occur by zones made up of pressure gradients within the system. He urges do not start the process in your home until you are given the green light. Otherwise, it could compromise the entire recovery effort.
If all the customers in the entire system or even in small zones opened all their taps at the same time, they could use 10 to 20 times the water that we can produce in a day. They will affect critical health infrastructure, and they could have a deleterious effect on our industry in the area that not only need water quality, they need water pressure and water volume. So we're asking for strict adherence to the protocols.
Bowling says that process began early this morning in the hospitals because they are the top priority. One zone in and around downtown Charleston was approved this afternoon, but McIntyre is urging the public to visit their new website with an interactive map. Customers can enter their home or business address and see their service status.
We strongly encourage all customers with access to the website to use this tool first. This map is accessible at www.westvirginiaamwater.com. Customers are encouraged to regularly visit the map for updates.
Still, McIntyre was unable to provide a timeline for when the entire system would be back online, meaning customers in more rural areas with less population may have to wait longer. As for the site itself, State Department of Environmental Protection Secretary Randy Huffman says the remediation process is already underway. He says there is little to no chemical leaking from the Freedom Industries location along the Elk River and expects little to no adverse impacts on the wildlife either.
No problems with fish kills, no other impacts to the aquatic life or to wildlife or pets or animals, anything like that.
Huffman says the DEP is not responsible now for regulating these types of storage facilities, but he and the governor intend to introduce legislation asking lawmakers to require additional precautions for the future.
One of the things that will go into that is a setback. And a setback, primarily what a setback does is it provides you an opportunity to respond. It gives you enough distance between the potential risk and the vulnerable asset to be able to go in and to respond with some kind of remediation or some kind of emergency response. Whereas in the case that we're talking about with a mile and a half, that did not give very much time to respond.
McIntyre says zones will continue to be cleared throughout the evening and into tomorrow. Again, you can check if your zone is cleared online at westvirginiaamwater.com or by calling 855-390-4569. For the Legislature Today, I'm Ashton Mara at the Capitol.
Entering the first full week of the second session of the 81st West Virginia Legislature, the normal process has been slowed by the chemical leak. While some work was done today, as Aaron Payne reports, most of the legislature's efforts were toward the safety of citizens.
5 days after citizens were told not to use their water for purposes other than flushing or putting out fires, both the House and Senate met in short sessions.
With only 43 members in attendance, the House was unable to conduct regular business. However, the lack of quorum allowed delegates a chance to assist in the relief efforts in wake of the chemical spill.
The members around the legislature have done very well by our areas have been affected. They have stepped up and actually transported water and food and things of that nature, supplies that are needed into the areas. And so I want to thank our West Virginia legislative members for stepping up and helping out other West Virginia families.
Well, I know many delegates have went back to their districts this past weekend and we're engaged in collection efforts of water. I think that's admirable. I think it's great that everyone is stepping in. I tell you, if West Virginians do nothing else, we do a lot of things well, but the thing we do best is to step up and help friends and neighbors and families in need.
The House will convene later than normal tomorrow to allow delegates from other areas of the state time to travel to Charleston.
We recess today and we'll be reconvening Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. The purpose of that is to allow delegates who have been waiting to hear word of what the situation is in the Kanawha Valley, it will allow them time to travel to Charleston, especially the delegates from the Eastern Panhandle, as well as the Northern Panhandle. Most other delegates are within a couple of hours, but there are some delegates who are, 4 to 6 hours away. And we want to make sure we accommodate them. I mean, they were elected by their constituents to represent their constituents here in Charleston, and we want to make sure that they are able to fully and fairly participate in floor activities as well as committee meetings.
Meanwhile, over in the Senate, all senators from throughout the state were present.
We felt everyone was able to get here. There was some juggling of some hotel rooms that needed to be taken care of, but we were able to locate 60 rooms or so that would be available today. So we decided to come in and business as usual.
As the water crisis ends, there will be investigations, hearings, and reports. Senate Judiciary Chairman Corey Palumbo wonders what the legislature needs to do to strengthen environmental laws.
I think the thing I'd be most curious to find out is what are the failings in our laws that allowed something like this to happen? I mean, what can we better do to strengthen our laws to ensure something like this doesn't happen again in the future?
But House Speaker Miley wants to take a more deliberate approach.
I never want to take a knee-jerk, hasty reaction to bad circumstances because you don't know what caused the bad circumstances to happen. So we definitely want to wait to see what the results and findings are from the various investigative agencies at the local, state, and federal levels are to determine what our next step needs to be.
Motions.
Meanwhile, restaurant, hotel, and other workers have been unable to work, and Senator Chris Walters had a message today for his colleagues.
I wanted to ask that we all work together. We started a campaign of sorts over today to turn up the tips in local restaurants and also in areas that usually wouldn't so much receive gratuity, such as McDonald's or Chick-fil-A's. Those are paycheck-to-paycheck West Virginians who have been without work, who have been sitting unable to work because of the water crisis, and they really need our help in these times. So please remember them when you go into restaurants as you're visiting in Charleston, and thank you again for all the help you all gave.
For the legislature today, I'm Aaron Payne in the House.
In a moment, we'll talk with Governor Tomlin and the Adjutant General of the West Virginia National Guard as this water crisis begins to wind down. First, here's a look at the two bills introduced in the Senate today. Senate Bill 336, allowing possession of an opioid antagonist by certain public safety personnel. This allows police, fire, and emergency service providers to possess naloxone to administer in suspected narcotic drug overdoses. And Senate Bill 337, to authorize the Department of Highways to increase gross weight limitations of trucks on certain roads in Brook County. These past 5 days have been long ones for Governor Tomlin and the team he brought together to deal with this chemical crisis. And it's not quite over yet, but several zones have been given the all clear to begin to flush plumbing. So life is beginning to return to normal in the 9 counties under this water emergency. And since this is the beginning of a legislative session, it is tradition for the governor to join us. After all of this, it's my pleasure to introduce Governor Earl Ray Tomlin. Also joining us tonight, Major General James Hoyer, the Adjutant General of the West Virginia National Guard. Gentlemen, after all you've been through, thank you so much for coming and visiting with us today.
We're pleased to be here.
What lessons specifically were learned during the derecho and Superstorm Sandy that helped in this situation, Governor?
I think having gone through the derecho, Hurricane Sandy, is, you know, to be prepared. We've put together a kind of an emergency response team that includes the National Guard, DEP, Highways, DHHR, Homeland Security. And it's a team that can come together very quickly, assess what needs to be done, and get the job done. And that's exactly what happened here. Within less than probably in a half hour, an hour, we were on the phone with FEMA, Texas, actually the governor, asking for the approval to get the emergency declaration that we needed from the president. That was done early in the evening on Thursday. And, you know, to start getting water in, that was our big thing we knew we would need. And, you know, we've been able to develop relationships with other companies, lots of donors out there that ships their own trucks in, to knowing that we were going to need a large amount of water. And just to give you an example, we have given away since probably Friday 9 million bottles of water and 1.5 million gallons of bulk water. So, you know, we've been able to take care of most people, the grocery stores, the other chain stores have been very good about bringing supplies in. Thursday evening we had kind of a run on water and people were getting a little crazy, but yeah, that was able to be taken care of by the stores. So it's those kind of things that you know, we have learned, you know, that we can be prepared to get together.
Of course, the National Guard is always prepared to be prepared. But what lessons specifically were learned from previous instances that helped here for you?
Beth, as the governor pointed out, we've continued to develop over the years our capability to respond. After Hurricane Sandy and the derecho, the governor directed us to do an after-action review. And part of that was looking towards preparation for the Boy Scout Jamboree. So one of the things that we decided that we could do better is, in military terms, we refer to working more in a joint interagency task force arrangement. And that includes agencies from local to federal and across the sectors. during the Boy Scout Jamboree. We did that in probably one, in my 32 years of military service, in one of the most successful fashions that I've ever seen. And I think, as the governor points out, as a result of that, we've become much more capable in responding to the unknown and the unique things. And unfortunately for the governor and I, in the last couple of years, we've gotten a lot of unique things thrown at us. Mm-hmm. The Guard's always going to be good at the logistic mission. Yeah. We're always going to be good at the disaster relief, that particular piece of it. In this particular case, we had to call on some unique skill sets that we had to be able to do some things to really get moving quickly to address this issue.
What was the first call you made when you heard the news that the water was contaminated and had to be shut off or had to not be used?
Well, after assembling the team in my office, one of the first things that we did was to get with the folks, Mr. McIntyre, at West Virginia American Water. We knew that we had to get the word out to the people very quickly. We called a news conference within an hour to notify people what was going on and what we knew at the time that it happened. And because the most important thing was the health and safety of our people, and that's in the back of all of our minds. So obviously having that communication, having the media there mm-hmm. to get the word out was very helpful. And I think that's one of the reasons that we had so few people who were affected that had to go to the hospital, and only a handful that really had to be admitted.
Now, the National Guard has been overseeing the water testing. What didn't you know about this chemical that you needed to know at the time that you needed to know it?
Well, Beth, this was a non-hazmat material that wasn't regulated, that didn't have a set of protocols for testing in a water environment like this. Mm-hmm. So this, again, bringing together the interagency team and the experts from across the sectors, from Public Health, Office of Environmental Services, DEP, the National Guard capability, and the National Guard here in West Virginia, as you know, has a significant role in the nation's homeland defense and does a lot. And we had some subject matter experts as well as a team of guardsmen that we brought together. And I think the thing that the governor and I are most proud of is within less than 24 hours, this team from ground zero built a set of protocols and methodologies to test this chemical and then began the process 24 hours a day mm-hmm. until we're done mm-hmm. of going out and testing. And we asked for partners from Pennsylvania, Ohio, Washington, D.C., now Tennessee, to come in and assist us in making sure we could provide that capability. A lot of young guardsmen who, thanks to the tuition reimbursement program that the governor helped establish, mm-hmm. who have skill sets that are some of the best in the nation, and they've been able to respond quite effectively to this.
Now, we know West Virginians are resourceful. We take care of each other. We take care of our neighbors and our elderly in a situation like this. But West Virginians also want answers. And the question that so many people keep asking is, didn't they know that there was chemical tanks upriver from a water intake valve? Wasn't anybody aware of that? That's the question that everybody's asking. What's the answer? Is there one?
I think the answer is yes, they did know the chemicals were up there. But as the general said, that this was not considered a hazmat. They were not mixing chemicals there. It was a storage tank mm-hmm. That needed some attention, obviously. But, it was one, they bring the material in, they take it out as they sell it. So, it was not like they were a regular chemical plant, okay. But yet it was a distributor that was responsible for this spill.
We saw where Senator Palumbo and Speaker Miley want to take a look at legislation. Do you have legislation in mind that you would like to take a look at?
Well, we are in the process and should hopefully in the next day or so have some suggestions that we will go to the legislature with. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's unacceptable what has happened here and as many lives that have been disrupted over the past 4 or 5 days. So DEP and our team is already sitting down looking at ways that this could be prevented in the future. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one we learn from these kind of mistakes, And we certainly hope to be able to correct any problems. And I think the legislature will be willing to help us.
There will be investigations on a number of levels and hearings and reports about this leak. But what's the question that you would like to ask? What's the question that you want answered about this event? General Hoyer?
Well, the governor's already directed that we start an after-action review for this. And I think one of the things that we'll look at as a part of that after-action review without impeding any other investigations that might occur are clearly things that we can do better.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't learn from your experiences, you're not going to be successful and you're not going to be effective. And the governor's task to his emergency management team is to continue to improve, to be more effective in protecting the citizens of the state.
This was a federal disaster. Will there be any kind of relief for the businesses that had to close because of this water emergency? I'm thinking of hotels and restaurants, coffee shops, hair salons. Will there be any kind of relief for them, Governor?
Well, there's just, right now, there's no program in place. Obviously, you know, it was bad, especially, you know, with the amount of tourism dollars that comes into West Virginia,
mm-hmm.
having the legislature in town, but especially in the service industry, the restaurant, the hotel business, they were particularly hurt. Overall for the state, it had an effect for the state coffers also.
Mm-hmm.
However, the fact that, you know, here in Kanawha County in St. Albans, under a different water company, the restaurants were able to stay open. So, yeah, a lot of money that would have been lost completely for the state mm-hmm. was shifted from the Charleston area to St. Albans or down to Taze Valley. So, you know, it's not as bad as it could have been, but the answer to your question is no, there is no program right now to try to address making these businesses whole.
As the water returns to normal, what will you both be doing and watching for in the coming days, General?
Well, from the National Guard standpoint, the governor's direction and our task is to continue to serve the citizens until we have completed this and the emergency is declared to be over. So those 9 million bottles of water are going to expand significantly above that, as well as the gallons, as well as the meals. And for the Guard, primarily in this particular disaster, ensuring the integrity of that testing process through the end of this event so that all West Virginians can ensure that they're safe. And one of the questions that was asked today was, well, how do you know? Well, we're using the best available information that we get from CDC and federal public health, but also the team that's putting this together has family, friends, and neighbors that are impacted. So we're going to do the best job possible to take care of these people.
Governor, we usually talk to you at this time about your State of the State address and your legislative agenda. We didn't get to do that today, but I hope you will revisit us on the legislature today, this session, and so we can talk thoroughly about your legislative agenda.
I'll be happy to do that.
All right. Governor Earl Ray Tomlin, thank you very much.
Thank you, Beth.
Adjutant General James Hoyer, thank you. Good work to you both. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Beth.
And here's a look at some of the bills introduced in the House today. Among the bills introduced in the House today, House Bill 4125, providing for the collection of certain fees dedicated to pay civil legal fees for low-income persons. House Bill 4126, improving state emergency preparedness. House Bill 4127, relating to the appointment of public service commissioners. House Bill 4128, requiring boards of examination and registration to maintain a list of disciplinary actions on a public access website. House Bill 4136, the Educational Equality Act. House Bill 4139, restricting parental rights of child custody and visitation when the child was conceived as a result of sexual assault or sexual abuse. House Bill 4140, authorizing an additional circuit court judge in Mingo County. House Bill 4142, setting the maximum number of pupils per teacher in 6th through 12th grade classrooms. House Bill 4142, an act to stop strategic lawsuits against public participation. And House Bill 4146, creating the Governor's Committee on School Board Unification. And this has been the legislature today. Our coverage continues tomorrow, though there will be no committee meetings or morning floor session in the House. We'll certainly find something interesting to report to you from that side of the Capitol. Committee meetings are being conducted tomorrow morning in the Senate, and its floor session will gavel in sometime after 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Our guest tomorrow is Senate President Jeff Kessler. I'm Beth Voorhees. Thank you for joining us. Good night.
For the legislature today, provided by State Electric Supply Company, your full-line electrical supply distributor. Online at stateelectric.com. And by the West Virginia AFL-CIO, the voice for West Virginia workers. Online at wvafcio.org.